Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Florida State once again giving us all heart attacks with a 35-31 win over Louisville. My name is Tim Allenball, and I'm joined by Juan Montalvo and Matt Minnick of Tomahawk Nation. And I got to tell you guys, it's 12:52 Eastern Standard Time, and I am wide awake. How about you boys? How goes it, Juan?
Well, I'm going to be probably awake for the next 3 hours. I mean, last week against LSU, I was up until like 4 a.m., and I can tell you right now, I'm jazzed up, and you know I'm gonna probably have to wake up at 7 when the dog starts barking. But I'm wide awake now.
Yep, yeah. I'm right with you fellas, and I had a travel day down and back to Miami in one day for work. Watched most of the game on flights or in airport, and we watched the fourth quarter all together on a flight coming back to Tallahassee. And I'm wide awake too, despite all. So that's what an FSU win will do for you. And Tim, how about this? There have been 4 weeks of college football this year, and Florida State still does not have an L in the win-loss column.
What year is this? I don't know what's going on, man. It is wild to think that is this the first time since 2014 Florida State has started season 3-0?
I think they said 2016.
Yeah, 2016 we were 2-0, and then Lamar won the Heisman Trophy against us.
The TV in the airport went out. It said 2015. We started 6-0 when we lost the year we lost to Houston with a quarterback in that Houston game that, quite honestly, I maybe in the Slack channel, you know, compared the current backup to. But you know what? Happy to be proven wrong at least for one night.
Let's start there, man. Jordan Travis went down with a lower leg injury. No updates at this time to what that injury is. Tate Rodemaker comes in, and I think his first two pass attempts were an intentional grounding and an interception or something crazy like that. And then he comes back and leads Florida State to a victory. Him and Johnny Wilson team up to absolutely torch Jarvis Brownlee. I mean, Matt... Is the fan base, are we wrong about Tate Rodemaker?
I don't know. There's been a lot of cases in a lot of sports where a guy comes in off the bench and just is able to make something happen. You remember Lynn Sanity, right? For the NBA for a week or two, right? Because no one has any tape. No one has any film. No one has put a plan around like preparing for a guy. And when someone comes in and their first couple passes are horrendous, they drop a snap, you know, the next possession or two later, you know, I think there's a tendency to maybe just, I guess, relax a little. Having said that, you know what? I've dogged him in the Slack channel more than most. And he stepped up and made a couple of big time throws when he needed to, that even if, I mean, even if you know, Johnny Wilson doing a lot of the work on those routes and catches, and Juan, I'd love to hear some of your take about Johnny, but you know, he made enough throws to make the defense respect it, which then allows our running backs to actually do what they need to do. And you know, he, and Mike, give Mike Norvell credit too. The second quarter was rough. The second quarter was a poorly called quarter. He made some significant scheme changes at halftime to bring in some extra block. Like, look, we're not going to run the Jordan Travis offense with Tay Rod. That's not going to work. But made some scheme changes, and you could see coming right out of halftime, they were able to go down and drive the football.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's really, really critical what you said there. I think they made a lot of changes at halftime, and I'm going to talk about Tate real quick, obviously, but then I'm going to talk about Johnny, like you said, Tim. And before I get to that, Jordan Travis in the first quarter was one of the best quarters we've seen from an FSU quarterback in a long time. Obviously, he started 11 for 11, but I think his play went beyond even that number. I mean, if that makes sense.
Dude, that third down conversion.
His throws were excellent. I mean, and he was able to scoot around in the pocket. I mean, get out of the pocket, throw against his body. He did excellent. And so to see him go down in that second quarter was tough. And seeing Tate come in and obviously have a very rough couple drives before halftime, we were thinking the worst at halftime. I mean, I literally in the Slack channel for Tomahawk, we were talking about, okay, if Duffy doesn't play, then we need to have a talk about a piece maybe where we say that Mike Norvell should play him, or he's going to, you know, really regret it, because you were going to start seeing losses pile up based on what we've seen previously of Tate. And Tate proved me wrong. I mean, I am someone who definitely said a lot of negative things about Tate Rodemaker in the past. And I was very, very, very happy to be proven wrong. Like you said, Matt, there were a few instances where Johnny Wilson made some really good plays, but I mean, think about the 69 yard throw to Johnny. I mean, that was 40, 45 yards in the air. He was open, but it was placed perfectly. And you can think of a couple other plays, you know, the Johnny Wilson touchdown on the right corner of the end zone, thrown where no one else could get it.
How about the scramble before Toa Fili's touchdown? That was a big third down play, right?
It was. He really, I mean, the kid had an excellent high school career. We need to set that part straight, first of all. I mean, he played 6A ball. He played at Valdosta. He came in as a four-star coach's son. He was expected to be better than his career has shown to date. And obviously his career so far hasn't been great. But then he came in and – in the second half, once they settled down, they made the scheme changes. The biggest thing is they went to 21 personnel. There were two tight ends on the field for, I would say, probably 60 to 80% of the second half. And actually, Matt was the one who called it. He said, you got to go to run heavy sets. You got to start running the ball and doing some play action. And it's exactly what they did. They mixed up the blocking schemes they were doing. They did, you know, they did stretch, they did inside zone, they did counters, they did power. I mean, they basically ran all sorts of different blocking schemes, and the adaptability and resilience the team showed despite a really awful second quarter. And what looked like it was going to start as a really bad second half worked out damn well.
Yeah, I mean, credit to Norvell and his staff. They made some huge adjustments. And the third quarter specifically on defense, until that last Malik Cunningham 60-yard or 40-yard scramble, Florida State held them to 25 yards, and Malik Cunningham only had 3 yards passing in the whole quarter. I mean, Louisville finally figured something out in the fourth, but I guess, Juan, what is it about the defense? What was the big change that gave them success in that quarter?
be honest with you, it was execution. In the first half, they were missing some tackles. They missed some plays here and there. You know, guys bouncing off on tackles. I mean, and I hate to point to something as simple as missed tackles, but I mean it was a big difference in the second half. You know, the we were all quite worried going into the game with Fabian Lovett out. Then obviously Jared Verse goes out in the first half. Hopefully, you know, it sounds like he's going to be okay. Tim talked to him on the field after, it sounded like, and I think it was our photographer, Charles, who talked to him, and it sounds like he's going to be all right. But the biggest thing was that, I mean, they played much better in the second half overall. I mean, you saw some, one of the things that was frustrating, I think, watching the defense in the first half was you had a couple of places where like Renardo Green had to play cornerback, and he's an excellent safety. I mean, we saw the tackle for him last week or rather against LSU, but he's not really well suited to play cornerback. They moved some pieces around. They executed better.
We got to give probably a shout out to Deloach. I mean,
absolutely.
That was a big, I admittedly didn't see every single snap of the first, there was some time I was in between airports and stuff, but I saw almost the whole second half and most of the second quarter, and Deloach really stepped it up there after halftime for sure.
And one thing I want to add to that, Deloach on the final drive where Malik Cunningham threw an interception, you know, we all recall the prevent that Florida State played against LSU, three-man rush, no spy, you know, obviously very different quarterback. But this tonight they played a four-man rush with Kalen DeLoach as like a green dog / spy.
Yeah. Up on the line at the snap too.
Right. So they confused pressures a couple times. They only, I think, I don't know exactly how many plays it was off the top of my head, but let's say it's 10. Out of those 10 plays, they brought pressure from other places like 2 or 3 times. But for the most part, they played four-man rush with Deloach as spy, and it worked quite well. And Deloach pushed right there up on the line, and when the back came out, he sort of tracked with the back. And when the back stayed in, he stayed there to see what Malik Cunningham was going to do, and it stifled what they were trying to do on that drive. I mean, it kept them from getting close to the end zone.
Yeah. The other thing, Tim, you know, and this is an instant reaction, so maybe I'm even listening to Juan talks kind of jogging the mind here, but, you know, the defense was not dominant. Let's just say that. It was not a dominant performance, right, but it was a performance that took advantage of mistakes and opportunities. And I recall, was it Taggart's first game? The Georgia Tech game where Jeff Sims beat us. There were multiple. So I was in that stadium for like 8 hours for that game because of the rain delay and stuff. And there were multiple times in that game where there were interceptions that were dropped, or, you know, opportunities to make a play that weren't made. And Jeff Sims gets out of there with a win. And you know, we've seen that over the last few years where it seems like guys just can't quite make the play. And tonight wasn't dominant, but they made a good open field stop. You know, Green gets a good open field tackle on third down, gets the stop. When the chance to get a, you know, maybe get a sack on Malik there, when they get the ball in a good field position is there, they make the play and force Louisville into a field goal or something. When there's a chance to get a game-winning interception, the guy gets 2 feet down in and makes it. And so there was a lot of times tonight where kind of like that tennis player that just keeps hitting the ball over the net and waits for the opponent to false start on 4th and 1 when they're going to go for it and maybe pick it up. And instead they false start and now they got a punter. So, you know, we kind of just didn't make that catastrophic mistake. And when the opportunity was there, we seized it.
One thing to add to that, and I'm going to bring up a tweet that Brendan Snow of 24/7 Sports put out earlier in the first half. That FSU gave up touchdown drives of 82 yards, 75, 99, 75, 80, and 5 of the last 6 possessions going back to the LSU game. So they started off pretty rough, but then they put it together in the second half. They took advantage of those opportunities, like you said, Matt. And I think that was really the big difference in the second half. Is they And it's something that we talked about a lot in the wake of the LSU games. They finished drives this time, which they didn't do in the LSU game, mm-hmm. especially in the second half.
They're learning how to make winning plays. You know, when the winning play is there to be made, they're learning how to make them.
And can you talk a little more about that, Matt? We talked about that in our Slack chat a little bit. Like, we tend to get away from soft factors or intangibles, but can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of soft factors either, by the way. Like, I don't really think of momentum in terms of like week to week momentum. I was around a lot of athletes in college and stuff, and guys, it's new week, new opportunity. You kind of put that stuff to the side. Maybe there's such a thing as momentum within games because you get behind and maybe you start to press or do something that you're not capable of doing, but not week to week. Crowd, soft factors and stuff, but learning to win, I don't think is a soft factor. And we've seen Coach Hamilton over the last decade instill that culture in his players where they are able to fall back on well-trained habits to make the right play when your body is tired, when your mind is tired, when the pressure gets higher, it's easy to make mistakes. That's people make mistakes. It's not so much of a clutch gene as are you able to avoid the mistake, right? And just be what you're supposed to be. And we have go back and look starting last season, close win against Miami, right? I think we had a close win against BC, didn't we? Yep. Close win against LSU to start or 2 weeks ago. They're clearly has been something that has clicked with this football team's culture in terms of figuring out ways to come up with a winning play instead of a losing play late in games. That's not to say they're going to win every game. We're not going 12-0. I'll just put that
one more thing. One more thing I do want to add to that. Sorry, Tim. One more thing I do want to add to that is I forget who the player was, but at the end of the LSU game, one of the players went up to Mike Norvell and said, you know, hey, we're they don't work like we do. I mean, and like you said, it speaks to their practice habits. It speaks to the work that they've put in together in the off season that they do, you know, the 7-on-7 drills, they go to the weight room. And the biggest thing is I think, you know, they bought in to showing up and doing the work, which is 90% of college football. I mean, outside of the, you know, final 5-10% that gets you into a national championship with the talent that a team like Georgia or a team like Alabama has, plus that work, I think that they're putting in that good high level of work. Obviously, they don't have the talent of in Alabama or Georgia. We're not going to be talking about a national championship game at the end of the season or anything like that, but it damn sure matters in college football that the guys have actually bought into what the program is trying to do.
Yeah. And, Ed Norvell's closing presser, he said a lot of things like that. Like he, at one point he said, this team isn't for everyone. This locker room is not for everyone. And so he talked about how they worked hard, how they were in the trenches, how they did the tour of duty together, and how that team is learning and growing together. And if I could kind of put a bow, honestly, on this game, because I know we need to kind of wrap this up here in a minute, it's that it's exactly what you said, Matt. This team is growing and they're learning. And they're either learning how to win, they're learning how to handle the pressure, they're learning how to really operate in these situations that matter. Now, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season. If Jordan Travis is out significant time, that could be a huge blow to the team and, you know, this season as a whole. But I think at this moment, right now, this is the best you've probably felt about a Florida State football program since when, Juan?
Probably since going into the Oklahoma State game. Obviously, that was a very good season. You know, they did very well over the course of that year. But I haven't had this sort of positive feeling about a Florida State team this deep into a season since then. I mean, you know, Florida State obviously has had some great seasons. I guess if you include the last decade, the latter part or the earlier part of the previous decade, but
of those 2015 and 16 teams, though, like you could kind of see, like, man, if we didn't have this guy named Dalvin Cook, I don't think we'd be very good.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel great about our team. I felt great about Dalvin Cook.
It definitely wasn't that sort of feeling tonight, which is nice. I mean, it was definitely, okay, you lost your best player on offense. You lost your best player on defense. And your second best player on defense, and Fabian Lovett, is out. And
then you lose your left tackle.
Yeah. You lose your left tackle. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, sort of, you know, if I were to give my two takeaways from tonight, number one, I wrote an article on Tomahawk a week or two ago, I think after the LSU game, that we should be using Johnny Wilson more in the slot, not outside, as a number one receiver. I was dead wrong about that. I mean, he clearly showed that he's able to, you know, with a limited route tree, go up there, get the ball in a way that he didn't show before. And number two, there's depth on that defense that wasn't what I expected. Better than I expected, frankly.
Shaheem Brown, man, he's pretty good. I don't follow recruiting like y'all do, but I mean, I feel like he's stepped up on the field and made some important plays early in his career that you don't see true freshmen making.
He was a fun one out of Lake City. Columbia High School there in Lake City off 41 right next to the restaurant. I love
Columbia High School. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and Brian, Matt, you'll know the name better than I do. Brian
Allen.
Yes. He's the coach there. And yeah. Shaheem Brown was, you know, I think Tim would know better, but a low 4-star, high 3-star.
No, I don't. I think he ended up a 3-star. He wasn't.
Well, that's a whiff.
At first he wasn't even ranked. I don't think when Florida State first offered or even got him committed, or when Allen was first trying to get people to bring him on. I don't think he was even ranked. It was pretty wild.
I got two thoughts, Tim. First of all, echo what Juan said about Johnny. That was a big step up game for him. I don't know if that's one of my two thoughts, but that he showed some things that we had not previously seen. Kudos
to him. Before you go to your second point, I just want to say we're all going to be typing Johnny in all caps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure he'll have some games with some dropsies like young receivers do, but tonight he showed he could take over. You mentioned the depth. The depth is better. Like, look at the depth at running back. Look at the depth at OL. I mean, I had some non-FSU fans texting me saying, man, y'all's OL is really better. Like, I had some friends that, you know, follow SEC schools. They're like, it's not the greatest OL, but it is way better than it was 2-3 years ago. And I think that moving forward, if Travis is out for any length of time, is going to be really key, because we're going to have to ground and pound. We're going to have to create an offense that can ground and pound, run Benson, run Ward, and hit some play action when it's there, and use some mismatches with Johnny. The other thing, and I hate to take us down to, like, you know, downer town here, but, We have a significant problem with our place kicking. A significant problem.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
It's not a problem. It's a disaster.
In the preview, I think in our like pre, you know, predictions piece, I said, now I picked the score wrong. Two missed field goals prevents this from being a bigger win than it was. We missed two. Like, it is to the point where I'm not sure we can kick field goals outside the 15-yard line.
Like, I don't know, at the 15-yard line.
I mean, at that point, do you even want to kick it? Do you just go for it? I have zero confidence in us being able to even get it close on a 40-yard field goal, and that's a significant problem going forward.
I was down on the field for the last field goal miss. I had my phone out. I was near the end zone. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna record this like game clenching field goal, and I just immediately deleted the video. it was awful.
But seriously, I mean, maybe this is a question for a pod during the week. Maybe y'all attack this during the week. We had our nice win tonight, you know. But we either have to find a different player or start calling third down plays as if we're going, you know, if we're going for fourth down when we're in the red zone.
If you're inside the 40, and I'm a guy who would definitely trend to be towards conservative in terms of fourth down play calling. It's just my nature, just the way I've been, just, you know, following Jimbo for a long time, really, at Florida State. But The first field goal that he missed, 37-yarder, which was on the 22-yard line, I believe it was like 4th and 3, 4th and 4, something like that. Mm-hmm. I thought we probably should have gone for it there. And I didn't hate the decision at the time. But now, you know, after seeing the game with two missed kicks from under 40 yards.
And Robert Aguayo, from under 40 against LSU.
Right. Roberto Aguayo was unstoppable inside 40 yards. You know, Graham Gano, Dustin Hopkins, obviously both those guys are still playing in the NFL. But you have – if you have a guy you can't trust inside the 40, if you have a guy you can't trust inside the 30, you've got to play like the fourth downs are third down.
Yeah. And here's that's what you're doing, Tim. You know, we talk about culture. The same kind of thing. There are some basketball parallels. You mentioned, Tim, that Mike said, hey, you can't – this locker room's not for everybody. And you know what? That's the same thing you hear out of the Tucker Center. Like, you know what? If you're looking to play 40 minutes and get 60 shots a game, that ain't – this ain't the team for you. We're you know, going to win as a team. You know what? What message are you sending to your OL and to your running back? They know that there's not a high chance we're making the kick. What message are you sending to them that you're saying, I don't think we can pick up 1 or 2 yards. We're going to try this guy out and try to make a 42-yard field goal that ain't having a chance.
You're trying to help out that guy. First of all, I mean, it's the same thing with Tate Rodemaker. I mean, if you had gone to AJ Duffy at the first drive of the second half, who knows if you won that football? I mean, obviously it's something you'll never know, but you've got to give a guy a couple chances and you're giving the guy a couple softballs, you know, 30, 37 and 36 yarders. He missed both. And we talked about it at halftime that if Tate doesn't come out and do well, which obviously he did, you've got to at the very least try the other option. So at this point, frankly, I feel like Ryan Fitzgerald has been exhausted as an option. So yes, at this point, I think you are sending a bad message to your offense. If you trot that guy out there to go miss another 35-yard kick.
Yeah, the bad thing is you don't really have another option. Parker transferred out this past season. But look, we've gone really long for an instant, but hey, it was really good stuff, so I'm going to cut us off. But I think we're all in agreement. What an amazing win for Florida State. What a complete high in the program. But there are still some cracks that need to be fixed, and whatever happens with these injuries could really shape the season. But just kind of final thought.
3-0, baby. 3-0. And let's I'm going to say go Aggies tomorrow, too. I am actually more of a UT fan, but I ain't rooting for Miami in that game. So.
Oh, I've got the Aggies with laying the points. My final thoughts, two things. Number one, go Aggies, obviously. And number two, I had something in my head. Sorry, Tim, you got two thoughts?
Number two, it's 1:20 in the morning.
My thought is Coach Norvell has said from the start, his motto, his theme, we got to keep climbing. We got to keep getting better every single day, every single play. And I think that's what we're seeing on the field. His motto is being shown by his players. That's my thought.
Like it.
And that's a wrap.
Tomahawk Nation. I'm Tim Allenball. I was joined by my good friends here, Matt Minnick, Juan Montalvo. Florida State is 3-0, and we're rolling. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep climbing.
That's a wrap.